Love that song. Never heard it before. First time us ever singing that. But we love him because he first loved us. He's the initiator. We simply get to just be the responders. He loves. That does something in us, and it allows us to love him right back. And that's Christmas. Hope you guys had a phenomenal Christmas. Thanks for being here, for bringing the church into this place. We've already done offerings, so we don't have to do that. But I just want to bring one thing into your mind this morning. This is the last Sunday that we're going to be doing the updated database. So if you don't go online or go into the back and give us your information, you will be left out, and you will be left behind, and you will not be in the database. So just want to let you know, this is decision morning, right? If you want your information in, you got to get it in. Otherwise, I don't know what happens at that point. I don't know. We'll figure it out as we move forward. Okay, so thanks for being here. Excited to worship with you guys and to hear from Coach Boyd, our closer. I don't know if Kemp's got the ability to close things out. It's kind of, he's like an exhorter, and God just kind of gives him the right thing to close us out. He's been doing that faithfully for us every Sunday. And we thought, hey, 2018 is going away, and we're closing it out this morning. So who better to close it out than our closer? So won't you guys give Coach Boyd a big welcome.
Man, y'all better get on that database, man. I was a little bit nervous. I saw Michelle come up here setting up that computer, and I'm like, man, did I do that? And I did, thankfully. The database, man, get that thing done immediately, or there will be consequences and repercussions. This database. Just going to truth tell where I am right now. Just want to acknowledge, I'm not a big fan right now of one worship leader, Paula. I was all right, man, for that last song. Like, we set our hope on you. We set our hope on the Lord. I'm grooving, man. I'm in my high praise, and I'm excited. And then she comes this new song that we got to learn. And, man, I'm back in the back just breaking down in worship. Like, man, let me get myself together before I get up here and I break down some more, amen. But man, thank God so much for our worship team and how they prepare us to come in to worship. Man, yes, yes, yes. That is no small thing or feat. Want to acknowledge, man, Christ Jesus. Want to give honor to God, man, for who he has been for me, not just now and just through study, but throughout the year, man, he's been great. He's been great to me, been great to my family. Want to also give honor, man, to our pastor, Pastor Brian Kunkler, man, who does a great job of leading us this past year, man. He's been a great brother and a great friend to me. So, man, Brian, love you, man. Thank God for you, and thank God for everybody. All my brothers and sisters, man, thank you, man. You guys are awesome. Another shout-out, man, for Paul. Paul gets me ready to get up here and do this. And Paul probably doesn't get a lot of recognition. He probably doesn't want it either because he just sits in the back and makes everybody sound really great, but it's always a task, I feel like, when Paul has to mic up Brother Kemp, because I got on a lot of things. And he's got to weave through this, that, and the third, and then I don't have much of a neck, so there's not a lot you can give as far as space. So Paul, I appreciate all your efforts, man, with helping me, man. That's a really good thing. We're going to get into some things, but first, I want to always kind of look back. But in this wasn't sparked necessarily by a strong move on me and the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you guys know, and he probably doesn't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it because I always kind of go against the grain of things, if you guys haven't noticed. But I don't know if everybody knows Keith Jemison. Keith, raise your hand. He probably don't want to do this, but raise your hand. There you go, brother. Just be obedient. There you go. Thank you. A few weeks ago, Keith came up to me and he says, hey, man, we haven't gotten together. And I said, okay, man, well, let's get together. And so when Keith says that, he's not saying it from a standpoint, he's suggesting that we get together. I didn't receive it that way from him. He might have said it that way, but I proceeded as, I better make an appointment to get with Keith. And so I did that, and I went over to his house, and we had a really great discussion and conversation where he asked me some very poignant questions. And some of those were personal. Some of those had to go with our football program and what we're going to do. But he kind of said, man, Kemp, what's next? What are you going to do next? And I'm a big fan of David, right? I'm a big fan of David and the mighty man. I think I love that story, right? And it's all in my players' locker room. When I first got the job, I put that story in my players' locker room because we wasn't necessarily big in numbers. But when I did a study of David and mighty man, I got excited. And then Keith said, well, hey, you know that's not necessarily how it started. I said, what are you talking about? And then he began to tell me about something that really gave me goosebumps. And ever since that conversation, ever since we talked and we met, and the brother was able to really speak into me, man, it put me on this journey just of searching and research. So, Keith, thank you. Thank you so much. He's like, yeah, whatever. But he'll probably beat me up after this to say don't ever do that again. But I always feel it's important to acknowledge and to give honor where honor is due. 1 Samuel 22, I want to start there. And it's titled, David at the Cave of Adullam. And it reads, David departed from there and escaped to the Cave of Adullam. And I want to stop. I don't want to go on. Because I want to do almost like a year review for CCC and kind of how we got to December the 30th. 2018, and just kind of look at kind of from whence we came in a year's time. And if you've been with us the whole year, you kind of, some of these things are going to sound familiar. If you haven't, this is your first time, you're going to thank me because I just got you caught up with everything that we're doing as a church in a matter of probably 3 to 5 minutes. But on January the 7th, 2008, Pastor Brian got up here and he says, hey man, here goes our theme for this year, and our theme is Be Transformed. And if I remember correctly, there was a lot of, yeah, yeah, praise God, right? And everybody was excited about it. Because we get excited about that word transformed, and we get excited about the beginning of the thing, right? And we can see by faith the end of the thing. What we miss a lot of times is the cream in the middle. And so as he began to talk about us, and I remember he prefaced it several times. He's like, hey, church, I want you to hear that I'm not boasting. But he boasted about how we beat, I believe, a 12-year-old female in table tennis. And she wasn't 12 years old. I mean, she was a student. That was back in college. If you don't remember, just go back and listen to it. But he boasted about how he had beat this person and how she showed up in her business attire. And he going to say, he's like, hey, I didn't know what I was going to do. But and then he mentioned that not only did he beat her, but he said he destroyed her. Yeah, some of y'all remember this because you're laughing with me. You're like, yes, he did do that. And then he said, hey, as a result, she said a couple of things to some of her friends. She went back, she changed her clothes and got into more athletic gear. And he says, we played again and I destroyed her again. The point that he was making was, and he said this in a quote, he says, surface level changes are not sufficient to change outcomes. The point being made is that just because she went back and changed her clothes and got into something else didn't mean that that was going to help her skill level in table tennis, especially not against Pastor Brian. We also talked about how transformation is a positive development upward. Meaning that God is never going to take us from here and go down here, but God is in the business of taking us from here to go here when we talk about transformation. But then he says, what the world is about conformity. The world is about, the world wants you to conform because why? The world wants you to settle for less. And he gave us an example of that with the people that were humans, but they wanted to live as puppies or dogs. They wanted to conform to what society was telling them. And so we went through that four-week series in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, talking about being transformed. And then there was another series that we did this year. It was a three-week series called Freedom to Change. And in this series, Freedom to Change, Pastor Brian really went to a place that we don't really know Pastor Brian to go to where he was kind of vulnerable with us. And he let us in on some of the church business. And he let us in on some stuff that was going on that says, hey, but he said, man, I was with God and God shared with me that I need to share this with you. Why? Because we need to go through this together as a church. And so Brian said that, hey, I have this plan. And the plan took us to Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, where Jehoshaphat, who at that time had a big horde of an army coming against him, reached out and said, hey, I'm afraid, to God. So the first step in our plan was, man, we got to acknowledge where we are. And so in that moment, our pastor acknowledges where he was and say, hey, man, this is what's going on, right? Yeah, we want to find a church building, and this is what's going on with this building. And he gave us all that, and it was like, okay, man, but we're great, right? And he says, hey, but next week I'm going to give you the next stage in the plan. And the next stage of the plan was, hey, man, we're going to sing. And everybody said, what? But it wasn't just singing. We said, man, we're going to praise our way through this. And he gave us a homework assignment to where he says, I want to send you guys home and I want you guys to fast, because that's the same thing that Jehoshaphat, that's the decree that he laid out to his people. I want you to fast. And our pastor said, don't expect me to have the word, but he said, one of you may have the word throughout this fast that God wants to give that we're going to need to get through this season. But the one thing he said was is that our praise and our worship team was going to lead us into battle. I don't know if any of you guys remember that, but I've done my study and I did my homework now. But he said our praise and our worship team is going to lead us into battle. That we were going to sing and we were going to praise our way through this together. And then there was another series that really lines up with our transformational process. It was a 5-week series called Shift. And kind of shifting our way through transformation. And the one week I really want to highlight was the week that said transformation that comes through the shift within the community. And he talked about us as a community. And he talked about how God uses people or the community to help us to shift into higher gears of transformation. Meaning that we're going to use one another. Meaning that iron is going to sharpen iron. Meaning that as we acknowledge ourselves and where we're at to one another, right? As we begin to sing those things out, right? Then what's going to happen is the community is going to come together and we're going to be able to sharpen one another. We're going to be able to encourage one another. And so those are some of the, I want to say, high points of what we did. Not that every Sunday is not a high point. It's not what I'm saying, Pastor. Every Sunday is a high point here, amen? Come on now, y'all better back me up on this. Now he's looking at me with an eye and saying, hold on now. I want to go back to where we started. It's important for us to reflect on our year in review, to acknowledge and to glorify what God has done, to look at the day and see what God is doing. And now we're going to forecast what God is going to continue to do. But first of all, we got to understand the process that we're in. Again, 1 Samuel 22 said, Dave departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now the question I have is, why is Dave leaving and departing? And we're going to give context to that, because up to this point, Dave, from the time he was born up into his mid-20s, I would say David had a lot of highlights in his life. A lot of highlights, right? I mean, this guy's resume reads, man, you're the anointed king, right? You're going to be the future king of Israel. You just took down Goliath, who is the Alabama Crimson Tide of that day, right? I know a lot of y'all stayed up watching the game last night. But Goliath was the man. But David destroyed him. David not only won, but he destroyed him. He cut his head off. But let's not leave out the fact that, man, he was a master shepherd as well. He protected the flock. He protected the sheep. Because of this, he was a great musician as well, meaning he was a great praise and a great worshiper, amen? So great that Saul said, hey, I need you on my court. I need you to come into my household. I need you here with me. Because, man, the way you play that harp, man, it does something to me. So I need you to be here with me. From there, he was promoted to be the commander of the Israel army, of Saul's army. He was a successful warrior. He had fame and recognition throughout the land. So much so that as the young people say today, his name rang out. Meaning that they had a song about him that said, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his tens of thousands. He was married to the king's daughter. He was best friends with the king's son, Jonathan. And not just best friends, as we say BFFs, but these two brothers went into covenant with one another and made an oath to one another. If all these things are going on in the life of David, then why is David running in solitude to a cave? If his resume reads that great, right? And he's got all this fame, all this notoriety, and everybody's making up songs about David, and he's the future king of Israel. He's married, got a best friend. Man, his mentor is Samuel. Brother, where are you going and why? And these are things that he was known for, but as we get to become known to things, it becomes to identify us. And we can't miss that. So yeah, we kind of know the backdrop of Saul began to come after David and to chase David, and wanted to kill David. So David fled. So all those things that read on his resume, the one thing that we had to add to his resume, that he fled as a fugitive. So how does a man who is a master shepherd, is anointed 10, 12 years old to be the future king of Israel, defeats Goliath, is a man gifted praise and worshiper, Mary, got a best friend, commander of the army, notoriety, fame, fortune, all this stuff is at his feet. How does that get so wiped away to where, man, he is now seen as a fugitive that quickly? To where he goes and he isolates himself into a cave. Not just a figurative cave, but literally a cave. A damp, dark, desolate cave. No resources, no people that came with him. He's there on his own in his mid-20s. Think about that. In his mid-20s, he received all this. Now all of this going, now he's running for his life. I don't know about you, in my mid-20s, I don't think I would be as composed as David if all this was coming against me. But see, when we think about it, when it comes to CCC, we have to remember what the theme of our year was: be transformed. And we get high and excited about that word, man. It's a great word. It is. But for David, like many of us, there's a cave experience that will follow us, that we are going to have to go through in this process of transformation. Now, it might not be a literal cave. I don't think, a lot around Akron or even in Summit County. But it may be the cave of what you are dealing with at a time that is formulated in your mind, that we all say, well, man, I don't necessarily want to have to deal with that or go with that. But I want you to go here with me for a second. We're looking at while Dave is fleeing. And yeah, we know, we can look at the chapters before and say, well, man, of course he's going to flee, man. He's being chased by Saul, and Saul's looking to kill him. So he's not going to just be this standalone target. But I want to tell you, I believe it's more than that. I do. I believe it was more than just simply Saul wanting to kill him or to take his life. I think God wanted more than that. And there was a quote that my wife, Stacy, shared with me, man, because she knows how much I love quotes. This quote says, there is a purpose to the process, and it's called preparation. There is a purpose to the process, and it's called preparation. I know you guys didn't hear me. I know I'm kind of meek and mild in my voice, but I just want to say it three times because I've always believed that when you say something three times, it kind of sticks. So this wasn't just about David running from Saul because Saul was looking to take his life. But I believe it was deeper because there's a purpose to the process that is called preparation. God is always going to make sure that the purpose that he has will manifest itself. But he takes us through the process of transformation in order to prepare us for the promise. And if we're not willing to go through that process, and I'm going to tell you right now, we've been talking about transformation all year, and I'm going to tell you there's been different times of this year that I have aborted a process that I know God had me on. But I think you can go now to what's the little store, man, that sells the pens and the computer stuff? There you go, Staples. God bless y'all, man. Y'all are hip and knowing people. Staples. In Staples, this goes back to the world, right, and how the world wants you to conform. Staples started making commercials about pressing the easy button. And it became this kind of fad to where I began to see it in people's offices. But brother done told on this, he done true told. Ain't no judgment here, brother. Thank you. We're going to pray for you, though, after. But you could press this button when things got hard because it said easy on it. And see, too many times as believers, I'm going to speak for just Kemp. That's how Kemp lived his life. Because, see, I wanted greatness, but I wanted it the easy way. See, I wanted to lose weight, but I wanted it the easy way. See, I wanted Stacy to listen to me, but there is no easy way for that. But that goes back to what our pastor talked about on January the 7th. The world wants us to conform to it and conform to the easy way of living and the easy way of doing things. But God says, oh, no, not so. Because remember, God is always trying to take us from here to here. And on that path to get from here to here, there's going to be some things that are going to flash before our eyes that we're going to say, whoa, that we're really going to have to deal with. And there were some things that flashed before David's eyes that David realized, hey, I'm going to have to deal with. And so we can sit here and we can ask ourselves and say, man, I wonder how David was feeling being in that cave. You know, we don't know or document how long he was in the cave, but we can always say, man, I wonder what he was thinking or feeling. Well, good for you. David wrote three psalms in the cave. So we could know exactly what he was thinking or feeling. So God bless David, amen. So when we go to Psalms 142, it's titled, You Are My Refuge, and it is a prayer that David prayed while he was in the cave. And we're going to listen to this, we're going to read it, we're going to break some things down. We're not going to spend a lot of time in it, but I want to go back to kind of the path that was laid for us here at CCC and see how it parallels with kind of where David's at. And it reads, with my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit faints within me, you know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to my right and see. There is no one who takes notice. No refuge remains to me. Now, just looking at that, David starts off, first of all, man, just simply, as we should do, he's pouring out his complaint, saying, listen, man, daddy, listen. This is what's happening. This is what's going on. This is what all these things that are happening, right? He says where he is. Man, he's talking about how his spirit is faint within him. What is he doing right here? And sometimes, man, before I heard this word from Pastor, I'd be like, man, come on, Dave, let's get it together, brother. But what we got a part of our plan here was, first of all, man, we got to acknowledge where we're at. And as we read this, what we're going to see is David acknowledges where he is. Hey, man, I'm in this damp, dark, cold cave, man. This is where I'm at. And he goes on to say that what? And nobody cares or takes notice of me. I was once this guy. They were writing songs about me, man. I'm David, man. I'm the next king of Israel, but right now in this moment, there's nobody that takes notice of me. There's no more refuge that remains in me. And when he says refuge at that time, he's not talking about God, but what he's talking about is all the titles that the world had given him. He can take no more refuge into those things anymore. I can't take refuge being the commander and chief of the army. I can't take refuge in being a husband. I can't take refuge in being a best friend of Jonathan. I can't take refuge in knowing that Samuel is my mentor. I can't take refuge in that. Why? Because I'm here in this cave all by myself. And I'm in this process all alone. So all the notoriety, all the fame that I receive out there didn't follow me in this cave. And so as we go down the line of the process of transformation, understand you're going to have a cave experience. Understand you're going to be in a situation where you're going to feel alone, you're going to feel desperate, you're going to feel depressed, you're going to be in despair, you ain't going to feel encouraged, you're going to be low and you're going to be down. And what our pastor taught us was we need to acknowledge in those moments. I need to acknowledge in those moments when I feel that way. I cry to you, O Lord, and I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am brought very low. Acknowledging where he's at. I am brought very low. I ain't no longer riding on this high anymore. I've been brought low. I've been brought down here. And understand, what do we say? God is never going to take us from here and bring us here. That ain't what God does. But he had to acknowledge where he was in order for God's transformational process to be in the work in his life so that he could have a positive upward development. But if I'm not acknowledging where I'm at, and we've had many stories throughout the year of acknowledging where we're at. I look at Brother Kevin over there, man. He acknowledged where he was at. He told us his story, and he acknowledged, hey, this is where I am, and I thank you for that, brother. That helped me. But see, that goes back to the word that we got about community, right? I had to hear his testimony in order to be encouraged from my community. But if that brother holds his testimony, if he holds where he was, if he doesn't acknowledge that, then guess what doesn't happen? We don't get encouraged. We don't get built up. We don't get lifted. And therefore, the kingdom is not being glorified. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Again, David is nodding, hey, God, they're too strong for me. I need you to deliver me. I need your help right now. And I can almost picture David kind of sitting in this cave, kind of with his hands, you know, his head in his hands, just kind of say, man, God, they're too strong for me. I can't do it. And probably David had to say that because, being David, right? If you got all these accolades and the people have glorified you this much, there's going to be a little bit in you and your flesh say, man, I got this. I did beat Goliath. You're going to start to think it's about you a little bit. And I'm not saying this is what he thought. Now, I'm just being real about how, this is how Kemp thinks sometimes. Sometimes when you've done some things, you've had some feats or some accomplishments, or you've achieved a certain way of living, man, you start to think, man, I smell all right. I look all right. I can do all right. I'm gifted to go and do X, Y, and Z. And then we begin to step out, sometimes not on faith, but we begin to step out on self. And so David saying that, hey, man, they are too strong for me. Maybe David in some part may have thought of that way at one time. And so now David's coming back to God and saying, God, man, they're too strong for me. They're too strong for me. There's nothing I can do within myself. For I've been made sufficient in your. I've been made sufficient in your sufficiencies. Now, any other time, I need this brother to, okay, here we go. But I'm back on track. He says, bring me out of prison. Bring me out of prison. And the prison he's talking about is not a physical prison of the cave. Sometimes the physical prison was in our mind. It's within our thoughts. It's within our thinking of how we think about self, how we think about the situation or the circumstance that we're in, amen? And we begin to allow the situation or the circumstance speak more to us than God, than his word, and then the people of faith that's trying to talk to us. And we say, but you don't understand. Deliver me out of this prison that I may give thanks to your name. The righteous will surround me, for you will deal bountifully with me. Again, we don't know how long David was in there, but this was a prayer that he prayed while he was there. And you can hear the anguish in the prayer. You can hear his sense of just feeling just, man, despair, feeling alone, feeling without. This is where he's at. And he's acknowledging before God. And that's something else that Brian had taught us. He says, hey, listen, when you begin to acknowledge or truth tell where you're at, you allow God to move on your behalf. You allow God to move on your behalf. But we always, and not us, but Kemp, I used to always look at things, well, man, I don't want to seem weak. I don't want to come across and feel weak, man. I'm a man. And so many times as men or as a man, I walked in false masculinity. And I walked in pride and not humility. And so by walking in pride, pride will keep you from acknowledging where you are. Pride will keep you from saying, hey, God, this is where I'm at and I need your help because they're too strong for me. This sin is too strong for me. I can't beat it on my own. Amen. I can't ward off drugs and alcohol on my own. I can't ward off pornography on my own. I can't ward off infidelity on my own, but I need your help because it's too powerful for me. Truth-telling and acknowledging where I'm at. We had a married couple come up here, and a brother came up, Jacob came up, and acknowledged where he was for years. And he truth told his situation. As a result of that, now we got this marriage intensive thing that we're going through. See, let me tell you something. If you don't start acknowledging where you are, you handicap God from really moving in a way that he really wants to move to bring about his glory on the earth. See, God's glory has to come on the earth, but a lot of times God is going to use us as individuals to allow his glory to come through and to shine in and to shine out. See, this is why, man, my prayer every Sunday is that, man, that we are preaching and that we are having church under an open heaven. That the angels of heaven can flow freely in and out of our service, man, ministering to us as he sees fit, not as we see fit. So we hear the prayer of David, man, and, man, we can hear the anguish and the sadness and loneliness in his prayer. But as we flip it, and maybe this is the time that, and this could have been right after he prayed this prayer, this could have been a day after he prayed a prayer, an hour or a minute, we go to Psalms 57. And Psalms 57 has a little different tone to it, amen? David begins to reconcile and remember who he is. And when I say he begins to remember who he begins to remember the gift that God gave him of praise and of worship. he begins to recall or to think on what God had previously done. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me. For in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadows of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me. He will put to shame him who tramples on me. Selah, meaning take a second, process it, and think. Now, this tone is totally different from the tone we just heard in his prayer now. Because I done prayed that type of prayer before. That woe is me, I'm acknowledging where I'm at, but I'm feeling down too. But now it's like David begins to say, hold on now. I serve the same God that delivered me from the hands of Goliath. I serve the same God that allowed me to come out victorious in every battle. That God ain't changed. That God is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. And I can see David now beginning to stand up in the cave, kind of strutting a little bit, like, hold up. Hold on for a second. God will send out his steadfast love and his faithfulness. Exclamation point. My soul is in the midst of lions. I lie down amid furious beasts, the children of man whose teeth are spears and arrows, whose tongues are sharp swords. Again, this is where I'm at. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They set a net for my steps. My soul was bowed down. They dug a pit in my way, but they have fallen into it themselves. Come on now. David's running the resume. He's letting it be known, hey, I'm getting my swag back again. I'm getting my swag back now. He's starting to get into singing, right? Our pastor told us, man, that's the second stage of our plan is, man, we're going to sing. We're going to sing. We're going to have praise and worship during this season. We're going to praise our way through this together. Our worship band is going to lead us through this, and this is how we're going to come out victorious. Amen? This is all lining up. So the same thing that we've been taught all year long, this is being now described in one person in David. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my glory, awake, O harp and lyre. Come on now. For David, that was his glory, man. That's what got him in to the court was his harp and how he played it. He said, I can't forget about that. I can't forget about what got me into the table to begin with, amen. And too many times we forget. Too many times we forget about what got us there, amen? Too many times we forget, man, that I prayed. Too many times we forget that I fasted. Too many times, man, I forget, man, I was in my word and I was doing my devotionals, man, and I was having my alone time with God. And too many times we forget. Why? Because we say we get too busy. David got busy to the point of all the accolades that everybody wanted to bestow upon him, and God had to remove him. And I believe that God used Saul to get David alone. He had to get his attention, and God knew, I got to get him prepared. I got to get him prepared. He's going to be the second king of Israel, but the first king that was chosen by me. See, Saul, man, was chosen by the people, man. So God said, yeah, go ahead and take him. But see, God had a master plan, just like he had a master plan for Jesus, amen. Soon as Adam fell down, God said, I ain't even worried about it. I got somebody else coming. I got somebody else right now sitting on the bench, man. I'm about to send down, man. And man, listen, they ain't gonna be ready. And it's the same thing here. See, that's the goodness of God. God is going to give you what you want. He said, here you go, you can take Saul. But I'm working on anointing someone else. So much so, I didn't send my prophet already to do so. But God, he's only 10. He don't look like everybody else. And I can imagine being in that situation as Solomon. You know, Brian touched on this last week, that, you know, as a coach, man, man, give me somebody, man, 6'5", 6'4". Yeah, I'll take that guy. But thank God that he don't look on the outside appearance, amen. Thank God that he looks on the heart. Because, see, there was something in David that he says, man, I got to have that. And so all this stuff came on him, and we read in Scripture how Saul was pursuing him and David had to flee. But I believe that, man, that was all in God's strategy. Because God knew I got to get him ready. And in order to get him ready, I got to get him alone. In order to get him alone, man, I got to remove all this other stuff. And God only had 3 to 5 years to get him ready. Because we know that he was anointed to be king, I believe, when he was 30. He's in his mid-20s. I got to get him ready. But we see a totally different tone now, where now David's beginning to sing. He's beginning to praise. And he even says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. And God being God, God answers his prayer. God answers the prayer that David prayed. In Psalms 142. And when his brothers and all of his father's house heard it, they went down there to him in the cave. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was bitter in soul or discontent gathered to him, and he became commander over them. There were with him about 400 men. One of the last things David prayed for is that God would send him the righteous. This goes back to what? The series that we read about, that talked about the freedom to change, that talked about the importance. I'm sorry, it talked about shift, and it talked about the importance of community through transition. God sent him and restored unto him a community that God said, hey, you're going to be the commander over these ones. Over the people that are distressed, in debt, and they're discontent what's going on in the world. Why? Because God doesn't want us to conform. And he says, hey, you were once there, so you're able to speak into where they're at. You acknowledge to me where you were. Now I'm going to send you people that can acknowledge you, that you can speak into their life now, that you can lead and you can be their commander, amen? So God restored him. God restored unto him an army. And these people that came into the cave with him, when they left out, they wasn't the same. These are the ones that became David and the mighty men. They had to go through that process, amen? They had to go through the process of transformation to come out on the other side to be able to give God glory. And here's where we are with the cave. The cave has principles, practices, and perspective. The first cave principle is be transformed. God is into upward development. A cave practice is acknowledgement. While you're in the cave, acknowledge where you're at. Acknowledge what's happening and going on. A cave perspective, God reveals his transformation through community, meaning that you're not in it alone. And that's what we've been taught all year. I'm just wrapping this thing and putting a bow in it, man, but this is all lines up. What pastor's been teaching us all year long, amen? Last thing I want to share with you before I sit down. It's another quote. Thank God for Sister Stacy. We have to walk through the low places of the process before we are perfectly equipped to live the promise. We have to walk through the low places of the process before we are perfectly equipped to live the promise. We, here at CCC, have to walk through the low places of the process before we are perfectly equipped to live the promise. God is not just about giving us something, but he's about preparing us to walk in the manifestation of the promise that he has on our life. Don't despise the low places. Don't despise maybe some of your brothers and sisters that are in some of the low places of their life. Don't despise that, because the cave is eventual for all of us. We're all going to walk through that process. If you stay on the time, if you stay on the process of transformation, you're going to have your cave experience. Amen. And I encourage you, don't press the easy button. Because we serve a God, before he can bring you to the promise, you're going to have to go through it. That's how much he loves us. Man, come on back up. We're going to pray. Man, thank God so much for his word. Amen. Yeah. Oh, Father in heaven, we just thank you, man. Man, Daddy, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for this year. Thank you for this being the year of transformation, Lord God. Thank you for the word that you have given us all throughout the year. And thank you, Father God, for us being able to use David as an example, Father God, of the process. And how the process is not always easy, Father God, but the process is needed and necessary. Because, Lord God, you are simply just trying to prepare us to walk in to the promise that you have on our life. Father God, I pray that we be obedient and acknowledge where we are to you. And Father God, if you lead us to acknowledge it to our brothers and sisters, that we can do that, Father God, and cleanse and unburden ourselves. Father God, we thank you, Father God, that as we move into a new year, that we not forget the theme of this year, Father God, and that we carry it and we add on to the theme that's going to be coming on next year. Thank you for our pastor, for his family, Lord God, and for the teaching that is being birthed out in this place. Thank you for all of our members and every family that is represented here. Continue, Father God, to work your work in us, that we may give you the glory. In your son's name.